I forgot where I'm supposed to be. You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we are pleased, privileged to be profited by your presence. So Spirit of God, honor the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, be honored as you accomplish your good will as we have assembled together on this day set apart for you. Spirit of God, make it possible for us to give all honor and glory to you, our Heavenly Father. And we'll thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. As we finished Revelation 5 last time, and at the end, the last two verses, and then Revelation 4, 9 and 10, all four of those statements have to do with the same statement, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. God the Father, forever and ever and ever and ever. God the Son, forever and ever and ever and ever. Everlasting, everlasting, age upon age, endless. Endlessness. Romans chapter 11, in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Out of him, he's the source. And through him, he's the agency, he makes it happen. Through him, and to him, he's the object. Everything is created for God to be who he is. To him be glory forever and ever and ever and ever. To him, amen. His ways and his person, so unsearchable. Now, having said that, and keeping that in the forefront, over, if you would, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John and chapter 1. And if I may, picking up, please, in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. At the very start of something, God was there. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God made himself the infinite, invisible God, made himself finite, as it were, so that we could see and understand. It would be like if you watch the little ants as they appear on the ground, and the ants are there, and you look down at them, and the ants don't understand you. They don't even know you're there in that sense. Do you know, if you created the ants, and you yelled down to them, "I created you," but the ants in their world can't touch you. They don't know how to relate to a human so big. God, how are you going to get to us? I sent my son in the likeness of a man, made in the image of a man, of flesh and blood, so you could know. So you could know. Now, having said that, the word become flesh. Now, in the process, what's the purpose of it? Verse 18. That no man hath seen God at any time, no one. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So you couldn't see God. How do you see infinity? You don't. No. You can sense it. You can't see it. God, what have you done? Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. It means to spell out, to bring out, to make known. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings out and brings to the front, brings to our presence God, the infinite, invisible God. How are we going to understand God? The Lord Jesus Christ sent his Son so that we, little ones on the earth, could come to grips with God's infinite person. Now, having said that, John chapter 1, verse 15. John the Baptist. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. Why? For he was before me. I was born 6 months before he was, in human form, humanity, but he was before me. Verse 30. This is he whom I said, after me cometh the man, which is preferred before me. For he was before me. Before me. That's right. The Word was with God and before the beginning. Now, over if you would please to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And in John 8, picking up, our Lord is going to give us some more help. He's going to declare God who he is. John 8, picking up verse 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Are you greater than Abraham? Are you greater than the prophets that have all died? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him. You don't know him. But I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I do know him. I know him very well, in fact. And keep his saying, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, assuredly, assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. John said, before I am around, he was before me. What about Abraham? Before Abraham, I was. I am before Abraham. Over, if you would, John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And picking up, if I may, in verse 5. Remember the prayer in the upper room before he goes out to be crucified. John 17 and verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world ever was. do it. I am before. I want you to make it in my perfect humanity now. I want you to bring to pass that which was before anything. Over at chapter 17, verse 24. 17 and 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Why? That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Before anything was, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. Now, and, verse 24 again, I want you, I want them to be, I'll read it, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. I want them to be with me where I am, to see the glory of you, of God. Now, having said that, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. That's right. Over to Proverbs on our way. Proverbs chapter 8. In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified. God is wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God. The pre-incarnate Christ is personified, made as alive, like wisdom makes a living. Wisdom becomes alive in God, in Christ. Wisdom becomes alive. So God talked to us. Proverbs 8, verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. I was daily in his delight, rejoicing always before him. God the Son was always with God the Father. God the Father is always with God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit is with them both. Wow. God, before anything was, that's right, before anything was, the Lord Jesus' mission is to what? Accomplish, to bring us to God, to bring God to us, to bring me, you, to God, and to bring God to us. Heaven's a sidelight to bring us to God, that we might know him. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and God, who is always, 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 God always is past, present, and future. He's always God. He was who he always is. He will be who he always was. And he can be nothing less than who he always is. He can be nothing less. And thus, God, how are we to find you? As I am, as I am. Before Abraham was, I am, I am. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, and you know a statement, you could quote it, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, what? Must believe that what? That's the word. He is. He always was and always will be who he is. He can be none other. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, in the light of God's timeless eternity, God, before anything was, anything or anyone, there's God. No angels, no space, God. God infinitely forever. Now, it's hard for us because we're so finite and we're subject to smallness. And we have a little help when we take the microscope and we go down and amplify something a million times and we see smallness in life. Wow. And we have help from the telescope. And the telescope brings us to the billions, 125 billion galaxies or whatever it is, 306 trillion stars, whatever it is. Wow. And we have a sense of big. But that which is big is really finite. So it's hard for us to know infinite God. God, you're infinite. That's right. I am infinite. Now, before anything was, only me. Only who I am. None other, only who I am. Israel was given great opportunity to understand this. Over in Isaiah 49, or 46, I should say. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, and in verse 9. Over and over again, I'm just going to do a little so you won't miss it. If you were listening to God, he gave a clear thing of who he is. Remember the former things of old. Why? For I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, from ancient old times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 48 and verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. Why? I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. And remember in the introduction, the Lord, Spirit of God gives in Revelation, I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and Omega. I'm the whole ball of wax. I am. Israel, do you understand that? Oh, it's very hard. Give us a king that we can be like others. And we want to duplicate and honor the gods that we make of wood, hay, and stone, and stars, and humans worshiping ourselves. And we lose out. We lose out, God. What about you? Nothing to do, God. We aren't doing anything with you. No, it's too hard. We're too finite to go. Everything has to have a beginning. God said, I don't. I don't have a beginning. I don't have a starting point. I don't have a finishing point. I don't have any. Now, having said that, and considering that, would you go Isaiah 43:10? Isaiah 43 and 10. And note, please, before time was God, there's nothing, no one, but God, the infinite, invisible God. God said, no one could ever see me because I'm infinite. Now you aren't capable of it. I can make myself known to you, but you couldn't see me. See? Oh. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant Israel, whom I have chosen, what for? That you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he, I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am God, and I'm not created. I don't have a beginning, and I want you to know that you need to know. You're my witnesses of who I am. Thus, when you get into idolatry and you miniaturize God, you shrink God down to man-sizedness, you lost your assignment. You're supposed to make known who I am. I'm the infinite God. What was the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ? To make known the infinite God so that we could handle it. The ant became, you became an ant so that you could go down and talk to the ants. And would the ants believe you, by the way? Use your imagination. Use your imagination, your creativity, and miniaturize yourself down to a little ant. You don't have to be a big ant, just a little ant. A little ant. And with a little ant, and you'd say, there, listen, I created you. I'm from above. I'm from above. I've come down to tell you that I made you. And what do you think all the little ants would say? Yay! Would they say that? No, sir. The average good ant that's thinking says it's impossible, right? It's impossible that there can be someone that you are big like that, because look at you. You're just like us. Ah, that's the trouble, isn't it, God? To make known who you are. You are my witnesses, Isaiah 43. Verse 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. No Savior at all. None whatsoever. And you can keep reading and reading and reading and reading. Isaiah 45, you're gonna get it. Isaiah 45, verse 6. They, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord. There is none else. There's none else, none else. He's going to say it over and over and over again. God can only be who he is. God is being who he is. God can be no more than he is and no less than he is God. God never adds and never subtracts. He's complete. Complete, perfect, infinite. Wow. God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now, what do we need to know? Well, in John chapter 14, the Gospel of John, and picking up, please. So when a person comes to know the Lord as their Savior, God, what are you going to do? Well, the Lord Jesus said, I want you to know, because remember, Thomas wanted to know how to get to God. How am I going to get to God? I don't know the way. I don't know the way. I don't know how to get there, verse 5. Verse 6, 14 and 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. To the Thessalonians, without turning there, they went and turned to God from idols. They turned to God from idols to know and serve the living and only true God. God, the only one. That's right. God, what did you accomplish for them? Well, when they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you helped them understand the commandments that there is no God apart from God. Don't make anything like God. All creation is just creation to glorify God. Because you can't see an infinite God. You can see the flower. You can see the bug. You can see the star. You can see the plates in the earth move. And the true Sami. Water moving. 500, 600 miles like an airplane. Right when it moves. five or six, like an airplane, jet plane, underwater. Wow. Wow. Boy, God, power. That's right. You're something else. Creation to help us know who you are. That's right. I am the way, the Lord Jesus Christ, help them. Help. I am the way, the truth, and the life, to be able to know thee, the only true God. And the word true, remember, means that it cannot be concealed. It is to be open, known, reality, reality, truth, 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 conformity, something conforming to the nature, to the reality of things, the character, what it is, where it comes from, what it really is. No fictitiousness, no imagination. No, it really is real. Really is real. God, real. That's right. True, true. True on the inside, true on the outside declares the inside. The inside declares the outside. True, true, true. That's sincerity. True. Reality, reality. Wow. Real. God, God, you help us with the reality. The complete measure of what something purports to be. You said you were God. You said you were God, and we're to believe that we must, if we're going to come to you and do any business with you, we must realize that you is. God is. God always is. Yesterday he is, today he is, tomorrow he is God. Always God. God as he should be. God as he is to be found. He is what he is. He commands us to believe him to be who he is. All that he is. All that it reveals. True, true. Genuine, genuine, genuine. Think of the chemical language. Chemical. Truth. Something has truth. It has stuff. Stuff. The raw material. Raw material. And base. Base. It's base. It supports the raw material, supported by base, the origin of it is the same, origin, it's the same, through God, God, you're something else. And thus the outside attests to the inside bears witness to the outside. So here's the true, true God. Now, here you are, go with me for a moment, if you would, over to Romans, remember, he's God. And the Lord made him known, makes him known. Romans 1 and 18. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am genuinely who I am. I tell you I'm God. See in the outside. Follow all the way through. God. God on the inside. God on the outside. God all the way. True, true, real, true. Who hold the truth, verse 18, who hold, having and holding the truth, wrongly, unrighteously. They got something. Everyone knows God. What are we going to do with them? We've got to shrink them down and move them out of the picture so we can get on with life. Or if you would, verse 25, chapter 1. Who changed, what did they do? They changed the truth of God, the reality of God, into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They reduce the reality to an unreality. Chapter 2 of Romans, verse 6. God, who shall render to every man according to his deeds, verse 7. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for God, for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, they don't want to hold the truth. They don't want to honor the truth. And obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. to lose out. Israel, you're supposed to witness to the true God, to the truth of God. Gentiles, you all know, Romans 1, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, you know, every human knows this God, and we make God like our people, our world around us. We shrink him into whatever the people think around us, religiously, materialistically. We shrink God down to miniaturize him down so that we can handle him. How do we handle an infinite God who has no beginning, you see? Now, over to John chapter 14, again, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Look at me, and you'll see God. No. Remember the ants? Couldn't be. Ah, but it is. It is. God made us in his image and likeness, and God made his Son on flesh and blood like unto us. So here in the process, verse 17. The truth. God, are you going to verify certain and settle it? Yes. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, doesn't have any sense of a God like that. But you know him, and for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know the Spirit of God keeping you and huddling you in your mind and heart until Pentecost, keeping you. Wow. The Spirit of truth, the wonderful Spirit of truth, going to tell the truth. Chapter 16, to tell the truth of God. Howbeit when he, verse 13, 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, all the reality. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and it will show you things to come. Well, how are you going to do that? Verse 14, he'll glorify me. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you understand me, you'll be able to get to God. God can get to you. And you'll be able to understand all that God is doing and not doing and why he does. And you have a sense of God's marvelous, marvelous infiniteness. Wow. Chapter 17. Verse 3. And this is life eternal. Well, what is that? That they might know thee, the only true, genuine God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent to verify and settle it for you. You see? All the little ants ought to be happy, but they aren't. They aren't. They're all out to get that ant. They're all out to get him. They're all out to get the Lord. God's... help us. We're too little. We're finite. Ah. But you need to know the Creator, who forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, everlasting is, without a beginning, without an ending. Infinitely God. Only God. Only God. Wonderfully. Only God. Wow. Thus, dear friends, he is the ultimate one. The ultimate one. Ultimate means... there's nowhere else to go. It means there's nothing else you can add. Nothing goes beyond it. It includes everything and everything, anything. He's the ultimate name. What's his name? God. Simply God. That's a word for us, God. That's right. And he's the ultimate person. There is no other person. You don't add, you don't subtract. He's the person. That's right. He's the Creator. And he possesses everything ultimately. There's nothing more he can possess. There's nothing more he has. There's nothing missing. Nothing to be added. Everything. He is who he is. In his greatness, his glory, his goodness, his grace, He's the ultimate one, the ultimate one. Wow. Wonderfully so, the ultimate one. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, please, to the ultimate. There's no one beyond. No, there's just God out there. Just God. God. So when you say God, and we're in his presence, and Psalm 139, it's impossible to escape his presence. Even in hell, he will be there. You see. Everywhere. Hell is in the middle of God. Wow. And thus, that's the terrible part of it, isn't it? Because in hell, or the lake of fire, you're going to be terribly, terribly, wonderfully conscious of God. And you can't do a thing about having a right relationship to him. See, right now, we can block God out. Watch. Monkeys see, what is it? Anyway, forget the monkeys. Yeah, you know. We can block God out. Thumbs down on God, out the door, and have a hot dog. And talk about whatever. But in hell, you can't do that. You can't do it. It's an awful thing. Because you are totally conscious of God. And you can't fix a thing. You can't change your state, your condition, your character. Wow. So, God, what are we doing? Well, he's the ultimate one. You can't go beyond him. It's impossible for anything to be added, subtracted. He's the greatest in degree and in strength. He's the I am. Over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. God and your marvelousness. Exodus chapter 3. And would you please note, in Exodus chapter 3, picking up, please, in little bit of it, remember Moses on Mount Sinai up there in the mountain, Horeb, Mount Sinai. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame, verse 2, of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And that is a very phenomenal thing, because he passed the bush many times. And an old dried out thorn bush, that kind of thing, bramble bush, man, put fire to it, whoosh, up it goes. But didn't go. And Acts will tell us that's because God was in the fire. God was in the fire. So, in verse 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Here I am, little old Moses, Mount Horeb, Sinai. Little old Moses, a few sheep, looking at a burning bush. Here I am. Verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Holy. God's there. Verse 6. And he said, God, what are you going to say to Moses? Moses said, here am I. Mm-hmm. God, what are you going to say? I am the God. I am the God of thy father. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And remember, the Lord will say in Matthew, I am the God. They aren't dead. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And they live and I live. They live. So, God said, I am the God of Abraham, etc. And Moses, the end of the verse, Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. He's looking at a bush. A bush is burning. You see? But God's making an impression upon him. It isn't the bush, and it isn't the fire. It's the God who created this all. And Moses, are you keen to this? Oh, I am, I am, I am, I am. Verse 11. Moses said unto God, Who am I? Remember verse 4, here I am. Now he said, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I to do this? Look at the little me, few sheep up here in the backside of the desert, and I'm nothing. Remember, before he was in line with the Pharaoh's son. He had such an education, such power, such influence. He was, as it were, a son of the Pharaoh. Wow. Wow. But who am I? Humbled, rightly humbled to do such a task, to make known who you are. How am I going to do that? Verse 14. God's going to give him his name, remember. I'll read verse 13, I guess. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, For God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc., hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And you know, verse 14, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me, Moses, to you Israelites. I am. I told you, before anything was, I am. And everything that is, I am. And everything in the future, I am. I am always, forever, the uncreated God. I am the God who has uniquely created it all, and I am uncreated. No one created me. I'm God. That's the word. How am I going to explain you, God? Infinite. Use the word. I am that I am hath sent me. That's what to say, Moses. God, I am. Not I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Not I was. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I am that God. Moses, I am your God, and I am Israel's God. I am. Wow. So, God, I'm to look to you and have a little sense, that you're beyond it all, infinite. And all I can do is know your name and identify you correctly. He who was always who he is, who will always be who he was, he can be nothing less than who he always is. God. I can't put it together. Do you know, if you had a little cup and I had a good size boat to get you out into the Atlantic Ocean, away from the sight of land, and I take and I give you my little cup, and I want you to go, and I'm gonna bring another bucket out here, and I want you to go and empty the Atlantic Ocean. Empty it with a glass. Begin. Can you imagine? When will you make a dent in the ocean? It's in front of you. And I can do that in the sink, kitchen. I can empty a bucket, and I go down and down, and pretty soon the bucket's empty. But in the ocean, no matter what I do, it stays the same. Right? God, how am I going to do anything, God? You can't. All you can do is know there's an ocean, and it's endless as far as you're concerned. And all you can do is bathe in it, and dwell in it, and abide in it. That's what you can do. But, that's what Jesus Christ has done to make it possible for you to know the living and true God. The only God, the only one there is, the only Savior, God. So when you say and look to God, Wow. God, over to Exodus 15 in closing. No, Exodus 15, near closing. Near closing. Exodus 15. I have another thought. God is the ultimate I am. The I am God. Forever and ever and ever and ever. That's right. That's what we're going to do. Revelation 4 and 5. We're going to get them. We're going to have a sense of God forever. Forever God. See? You say, well, when am I going to wear God out? Never. When am I going to exhaust God? When is God going to run out of things to show me of his magnificence? Guess when? Remember back in the ocean? You got all eternity to empty the ocean, and you never make a dent in it. You got all eternity to appreciate and come to grips with a holy God with a perfect mind, and you'll never run out. So I'm going to get bored. Impossible. I don't want to do that. I like bowling. I like eating pizza. I hope heaven has pizza. See, I can do. I like boating out there in the ocean, but you can't do that either. Can't do that. No. Exodus 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. This is the great song of Moses after the Red Sea. And I will exalt him. Verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. You showed the opening of the Red Sea and the closing of the Red Sea and the Egyptians. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. God, you are wonderfully who you are. Always. I am that I am. Remember, we did all this, you know. I am that I am. Always who I am. Always. And then you take the line, and on top of it, you put your request, your need, your troubled heart. You put it on top. I put it on top. And God said, I want you to know, I am to you. I am to you who I always am. And I am to you who I always am, and I will demonstrate who I always am in this period of your life. I will demonstrate who I am. I am going to become what I always am. I'm going to become it to you. You see? Wow. In closing, that's what God does. I know you didn't get that. It's hard. God is who he is. And all he does is express who he is at any given moment. And in that sense, he becomes to you what he always is. He gives to you what he's always able to give. We already has it. God isn't going to give you, God doesn't create something for you. He already has it. He already is. You don't have to do anything. See? Over 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Picking up, please. In verse 11, this is the record, 5:11, this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The Son of God makes life, life eternal. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life, eternal life, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, forever and ever and ever and ever, eternally, 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 endless, endless, ever. God, eternal, eternality in your being. That's right. Now, God, if I receive your Son who represents you, when I receive your Son who represents you, John, 1 John 5:12, when I receive your Son, I receive you. When I receive you, I receive eternal life. I receive your existence for my existence forever. Your existence for my existence forever. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we, by way of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to know him is to know God, is to know, have life. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given to us an understanding that we may know him. That is true, genuine, real, absolutely, totally, no make-believe. Are you really that way, God? I am that way. That's my character. That's my conduct. That's who I am. I am that I am. You see? That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. By the way, this the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the true God and eternal life. So he that hath the Son hath life. How so? Because the Son of God is God, the true God. And when you receive him, that's why you have eternal life. What's eternal life mean? That I do business with the infinite, eternal, timeless, timeless God. That's why death and all the rest of it isn't an issue anymore. The issue is to exercise my relationship to you, which is life, and God. And when my time on earth is finished, to be able to enter in, Revelation 5 one day, with the rest of the believers in an awesome way, to you be glory and honor and blessing and praise and wonder forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Ever living one, from one who you've given everlasting life, I appreciate the life that you've given me, my God. Do you understand? No. Our Father and God, we look to you to help us. We thank you. We thank you that we can come to grips a little bit with who you are. God, in our feebleness, in our littleness, To begin to put in language the ultimateness of your person, your power, of who you are. God, thank you very much. And for every boy, girl, man, or woman that has never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Spirit of God, convince them. Father, we want all, whosoever's, to be able to believe, to be believing, and to have the Son, and to have your Son, to have life so that we can honor your Son. In honoring your Son, we can honor you, the living and only God. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. Perhaps we can sing, please. 579. 579. Stanzas.